I just can't do it anymore. I have nothing left.
Between the divorce, the cancer, your mom dying and being laid off, I know it feels like you're going through a lot. Believe me, I have been there. Just remember, when God closes a door, he opens a window. And never forget, God never gives you more than you can handle.
God never said that. Oh, I've got another one if you want to take a shot. Yeah, they come as a pair. Bring it.
Over these last couple weeks, you know, we've been learning, first of all, God never said that it doesn't matter what you believe. Then secondly, we learned God never said it doesn't matter what you do. And today, we're going to find out what we're going to learn. That God never said it doesn't matter who you are. And so I've been thinking about, now that I know how to believe and now I know what to do, I just think, well, I'm just going to have to pull up my boots and, you know, sort of grit my teeth and just do it. Just get it done, right?
God never said that.
Be a little quicker with the God never said thing. Cause... Okay, so... So if God never said that, then okay. So I guess I just need to just do whatever it takes, right? Just whatever it takes. It's...
God never said that.
Okay, I've had enough. Life is tough. I don't know why this morning I'm feeling extra beat up. I don't think I can do this.
God never said that. Come on, help me out. God never said that.
What did he say?
This morning we are going to learn what God did say. And so have you been to join this series? Yes. And have many of you seen us online on the Go Church Manchester page? How many of you have been on your Go Church Manchester page? You know, you can share that podcast as well to other people so that they can know what God did say. And so this morning, we're going to do a selfie, but first I want to welcome our special guests, Chad and Lacey and Jake Gonzalez. They're here all the way from the United States to visit you this morning. So we want to welcome you and say a special welcome. During our bring and share, maybe you'll be able... Yay!
That's a
proper welcome. Proper welcome.
Yeah.
And so this morning, hopefully you guys will take time to come up and introduce yourselves to them and welcome them. But right now, it's selfie time. So I want you to stand up, get your phones, check in to Go Church Manchester on Facebook. Now, I've been gathering all of your pictures, and I have been getting them so that we can have it on the Go Church Manchester page. So make sure you tag Matt or tag myself or tag Go Church Manchester.
Pastor Alan Claire.
Tag Pastors Alan and Claire. They've gone to California this week. We were able to see them this week, and it was so nice to get to push them out of the nest and get them ready to go for the rest of their sabbatical. In fact, it starts today, a lot of the stuff that they're doing. So be keeping them in your prayers. So we're going to go have a fun day. We're learning about missions in the Sunday school. Let's go. And go church. And next week, get ready for Go Church Love Salford. I'm going to preach next week. Everybody wear green. That's a hint of what we're going to do next week. Everybody wear green, okay? All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, give them a hand. Woo-hoo! Well done. Those guys, they can hit too, so sign them up for boxing classes. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege to be able to open up your word together this morning. We thank you. It's your word and truth that makes us free by the power and the anointing of your spirit. We rejoice, Father God, in that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're just going to take a few moments to share together today. As we do, let me sort of remind you of where we come from. As I said in part one, God never said it doesn't matter what you believe. We found out you can't just believe anything you want to. You don't believe feelings or circumstances, but what do we believe? We believe the truth of God's word. And it's the truth, everybody say the truth.
The truth.
It's the truth that forms our true beliefs. And where are they formed? We found out we're formed in our spirit, the real us. So true beliefs are spiritual and they're formed in us, in our hearts. And we're going to dig deeper into that a little bit. And then we found out how we activate those truths and beliefs into realities in our lives is when we connect our heart with our mouth. The number one way to sort of manifest the truth of God's word that's in our heart is through what we say. If we say our feelings or we say our circumstances, we manifest those things. If we say what is true, which is God's word, and it's from our heart and our mouth connected, that's where the power comes into play in our life. In part two, last week, as we said, God never said it doesn't matter what you do. We found out, in fact, that it really does matter what you do. And the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh corruption or death. So what we do either brings us towards eternal life or life, or it brings us towards death or separation from God. Our actions are important. We found that out. And then we also looked in detail. We did a little bit of Q&A with God. And if you didn't hear those two messages, I encourage you, as Julie said, go on the Facebook page or go on the website and you can find out more. You can listen to those. They're up there. But sometimes we think, there's no way we could really do what God wants us to do. We could really do His will. Actually, we found out there is, and that God not only shows us that we can do His will, but that He expects us to do His will, and He shows that we can know His will. That's a great starting point. We can know His will, and we can do it. And we saw through the scriptures. Then we asked ourselves two questions. So we did a Q&A with God, asked Him several questions, but then we also left ourselves with two questions through which we filter all of our actions. These two questions are, number one, what would love do? And we saw that love has both this orientation towards God. What would love do in the sense of my actions, how do they give God any glory? And then secondly, my actions, how do they influence the people around us? Those two parts, towards God and towards others. That's that love filter. We also found another great question through which to process all of our actions is the scripture that says, whatever you do, all that you do, do it unto the glory of whom? Do it to the glory of God. So if all your actions, if you can do it to the glory of God in good conscience, then you're doing the right things. So those two filters, the love filter, and then we call it the litmus test of worship. Everything I do in life, the goal is that my actions worship God. So whether it's, as an example, Alicia is worshiping God through her time and talents as she gives herself to be able to help God set people free from the bondage of debt. Or whether it's you as you've contributed and gave this morning, or even being in church. That action of being in church is a worship to God. And so you've done that to the glory of Him. That's a good thing. So all that we do, we push through those filters. That's how we know. And we got real with it. We asked a lot of get real questions about all different areas of our life. Avail yourself to the message online to find out more. So today, we're going a little bit deeper, a little bit farther in this series. It's the last part. As Julie said, next week she's going to be sharing, and the whole service is going to be gathered around the idea of the Love Salford and the Mission Weeks. So I really encourage everybody to come out to that. It's going to be fun too. She's got a lot of fun stuff planned. I said, what do you got planned? It makes me nervous when she plans things. She says, no, I got fun stuff planned. I said, what do you got planned? She's like, no, I got fun stuff. I'm like, she won't tell me. So that makes me nervous. And you can come and be nervous with me and find out what it is too. So, but wear green. Okay. So today we're going to do three things as well. We're going to locate the real you, and we're going to locate also, we're going to find out what God's mirror is, and then we're going to find out, we could look at a lot of different things, but we're going to look specifically at the fact that when talking about who we are, that we have been made new. We have been made new. And so let's go right into it. Let's start off with the fact that God says a lot about who we are, and the one thing that He says is that you, and how He created you, and how He made you in His likeness and image. And here's a couple scriptures. I've got them up here for easy recognition and following the message. But please do take notes. I see a number of you taking notes, and you can look at them later. Also, like I said, this message will be available online right after the service, too. Scott and the team are really great at getting it online almost immediately after the service. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 in the NIV version of the Bible says, therefore, We do not lose heart, even though outwardly we are wasting away. Turn to the person next to you and say, nothing, absolutely nothing. Even though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And actually in the Greek, I want to draw attention to the fact that in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, this renewed day by day doesn't mean every time you wake up, whatever time you wake up and your eyes come open, you wake up and suddenly you get a new spirit. That's not really what the Greek says. The Greek is saying inwardly and outwardly there's a difference. Outwardly, we all recognize that as we get older, things change. They do, right?
Yeah.
They do. They change outwardly. You're not going to live forever. This body is somewhat affected by the life we live and gravity especially and other things like that. And so, but inwardly, it's different. Inwardly, you're in a perpetual state, a continuous place of newness. You don't change on the inside like you do on the outside with the space of time. You have been, as Peter mentioned, you have been made new. You have been made new. And as a result of that, you are in a continuous state of newness. So that's a pretty important thing to understand is that as far as God sees, and just like that flower, there's a different view. What you see and what God sees is a great illustration. And Peter didn't really know what I'm talking on today. And that really fits great, that visual of that flower. God sees you in that state of continuous newness, no matter what color you look like on the outside. I'm not talking about just your fleshly color. I'm talking about no matter what happens on the outside through the seasons of life, the outward man is affected and influenced by time. This dust body will return to dust. But inwardly, the real you is in a perpetual place of newness because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's good news, folks. So we're locating the real you. The real you isn't the outside. The real you is the inside, the man on the inside. And so another great scripture where we see this is in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It talks about that may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So three parts. God is three. God in the beginning in the book of Genesis said, let us, plural, make man in our plural image. And so God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three, yet one. Elohim is a uniplural noun, just like the word team is. Yeah, we were just at with our friends here. We went and toured the Old Trafford, and so there's a lot of information about the team, Manchester United. It's one team, but it's made up of different players. In the same way, one God, but three persons. And you are one person, but you have three distinct parts of you. And those three distinct parts are different. There's the outward man, your body. Notice it's listed in the scripture last, because that's the part of you that is not as important as the rest of you. We look at the body and we focus on the body and circumstances and feelings and all those things, because that's what we see. But God turns things around. He always thinks from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so he emphasizes spirit, the real you, and then your spirit has a soul. That's your will, your emotions. Those are the eternal parts of you. That's the soul is the part that can be renewed by God's truth, which is the word of God. So spirit, soul, and body. The body returns to dust, but the real you is eternal, spirit connected to soul, soul connected to spirit, and as such is eternal. So when you die, your body leaves your spirit leaves your body, almost like taking off your jacket. Just kind of just sheds. That's all that death is separation from the physical body, but you are an eternal being created after an eternal God. You are spirit. The Bible says God is spirit. You were created in his likeness and image. So we've located ourselves a little bit. Now, in locating ourselves and talking about God never said it doesn't matter who you are. In fact, he actually says a lot about who you are. There's so many things we could talk about. For example, as we continue talking about the real you, we could talk about how you're fruity. Everybody say you're fruity. Not that you will be fruity. You right now are fruity. What does that mean? According to Galatians, the 5th chapter, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is from the Amplified Bible, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it then says, and it's got capital S, meaning fruit of the Holy Spirit. But then look what it says, the result of his presence in us. In other words, when you are born again, you are reborn with the very DNA of God. God is a spirit, and you are recreated in his image as spirit. And when you're recreated in his image, you're recreated with his DNA. You look like your daddy God on the inside. So some people might say, well, you know, I'm just, honestly, my personality, the way I was raised, I'm not a very loving person. Everybody say, hashtag, God never said that. In fact, he said the reverse. He says, actually, you, the real you, you are love. Not that you are a loving person. He recreated you after his image, and God is spirit, and he's also love. So as such, you, the real you on the inside, your spirit, you are love. Sometimes we don't act lovely on the outside, but we is, to say it in a real poor English way, we is love. We are love. He made us like us. And we could go through all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. You say, I'm just not a very joyful person naturally. Hashtag, God never said that. What did he say? He said, you, the real you, your spirit, you are joy. Not just that God wants you happy. God has made you something that he is. And he is joy, so that's who you are. What about, this is a good one, what about faithfulness? I'm not a very faithful person. According to God, one of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And kindness. I'm not a very kind person. I'm not a very good person. According to God, you're all those things he made you. So we could talk in detail about those. We don't have time to really dig deep into it. We could also look at the real you and how you are co-heir or joint heir with Jesus. We could look at your inheritance. And basically from that, we understand everything that he has and everything that he's left to us, it is ours. What he has is ours. So we could look at the real you and that you have what everything he has. And then we could also look at the fact that you have victory. This scripture was referred to a couple times this morning through song and then also as Peter shared as well. And Ephesians 2 verse 6, that God raised you up. We confess that this morning. I've been raised together with Christ. Well, where is Christ? Christ is seated in a place of victory. So the real you, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what feelings say, it doesn't matter. The real you, you are victorious. And if we feed and focus on those truths, that informs and creates beliefs in our spirit. And if we then speak what God says out of our spirit, we begin to live what he said about us. But if we say, I'm no good, I'm defeated, I'm not going to make it, I just can't do this, life's too hard, all those things, we're speaking out only what the circumstances or the feelings are telling us, and our lives won't line up with God's best for our life. So, all right, so how many of you ladies, and I say ladies only, but maybe a few gents do too, who's got a mirror that you carried into church this morning? Any ladies with any mirrors? Pull out your mirror from your handbag or whatever it is, like, And let's just look at it for a second, because we're going to talk about mirrors for a second. Looking at the real you. You know what? How many of you have a phone? Nobody uses mirrors anymore, do they? So you might look at the phone and you look at that, but a mirror, and if you look here in this picture, it has the light shining on it. A mirror, according to just a very simple definition, is a surface that reflects. It says, or anything that gives true image of the person or thing. Compared to other things that are not reflective, a mirror takes the light that hits it and it reflects back the image to you of that image on the mirror. And so sometimes mirrors aren't always showing a true image. Sometimes this is the way we see ourselves when we look in the mirror of circumstances or the mirror of things in life. But God has a mirror that is always true. And it says in James chapter 1, it says, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance into a mirror. Just kind of as they walk by, glance into a mirror, and they walk away. The 2 minutes later, they have no idea who they are. So The Message version of this scripture links knowing who you are with what you see in the mirror. And it talks about, look, it says, those who hear and don't act. So the hearing part, remember we started off that we believe through God's word, which is truth. Hearing the word of God is how we get faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God or spending time reading it. We encourage people to do a lot in the way of that. But notice the who you are is seen by hearing of the word of God. In fact, we keep going on and we look at the scripture again in a different translation. In the Amplified version, it says this. For anyone who listens to the word without obeying it. Our first part one was about how do beliefs come. Part two, what you do matters. So we have both parts connected in this scripture right here. For anyone who listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. And then it says, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But then it says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law of liberty and is faithful to it and preserves in looking into it. Well, what is the law of liberty? What do we think the law of liberty is? The Bible talks about the scriptures are a law that brings freedom. The Bible talks about, in fact, actually, the whole Old Testament is referred to as the law and the prophets. So when he says, look into the law of liberty, what is that? It's the word of God, exactly. So the Bible, not your phone or the mirror that you see, is actually the most true reflection of who you are. And when you really want to see how good you look, you don't have to go and look just at your phone reflection or the mirror. You go into God's word. Let me say something to you. You look a whole lot better on the inside than you do on the outside. No matter how much you're styling, no matter how much you're wearing, whatever you think is the right bling and the right clothes, you look good, you did all that time with your hair, all those things, you lost weight, you did whatever, and you feel like you're looking good on the outside, no matter what, you look far better on the inside than you do on the outside. So God's mirror is His Word. And so what does He say? He says in His Word that... In fact, let me just take for a second for here, and he says, you are new, and we're going to focus now as we finish up the message this morning on the fact that he's made us new. And in that, I want you to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, in fact, why don't we read this together on a count of three? We'll read it off the screen up there. It's real easy to see. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone. So, the new creation has come. That phrase, in Christ, is what I want to focus on for a second. You know, throughout scriptures, one of the things that is said about who you are is found in these little tiny phrases that are prepositions. They have the word a preposition, like in, as in Christ. And one person said the key to the Gospels is found in the prepositions. So Paul used this phrase, in Christ, about 130 times, or something like in whom, in if you read a King James Bible, in the beloved, those kind of phrases. But in, using those prepositions. And if the key to the Gospels is found in the prepositions, then that means if you really want to see who you are, if you really want to look into the mirror of God's Word and find out the truth about who you really are, then that's the place to look. Who you are, because you are in Christ, just like you're risen together in Christ. You're not dead in your trespasses and sins. You've been risen together. So, and it makes a big difference. So let's use this as an example. If you do different prepositions, it makes a big difference. So as an example, different prepositions, the word in, with, through, by, for, etc. Let's use this illustration. You walk by the house. Well, that paints one picture in your mind, doesn't it? I'm walking by the church. I'm walking by the house. Here's another, just changing the preposition. You walk through the house. Well, that's a completely different thing, isn't it? And then here's another one, you walk in the house. So the prepositions are really important. So it could just say, God is with us, or we are with God. That would be nice. In fact, that's what it says under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, before Jesus came, God, it says God is with them. But it never said God was in them. Under the new covenant, because of Jesus, it says that God is not just with us, and it says that God is not just for us, but it says that God is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He's in us. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so when it says that not only that God is in us, but then we are in Christ, you've been in Christed, as one friend says, you've been in Christed. In other words, that changes everything. It's one thing to be with God. It's another thing to have God for us. But it's a whole different level to know that not only is he in you, but you are in him. So everything that he is who you are. And he is righteous. He's made you new in a perpetual state of newness. And what do we learn from that? You know, we're not talking about something you can do in your own strength. I guess I'm just going to grit my teeth. I'm going to pull up my wellies, my boots, and I'm just going to attack life just with some extra, you know, kind of deciding, decision-making power, willpower. That's what I'm looking for, willpower. No, in ourselves, there's three realities of who you are in yourself. These are good. It's good for us to all know this. In myself, I can do nothing. Even the breath I have comes from God. The ability to work and earn money. In myself, I am nothing. When we get lifted up in pride for whatever, did I do a good job? Yes, you did a good job, but it's only because God is working in and through your life. In myself, I have nothing. Those are what we call the three in myself realities. Why do we refer to those? Because then we also have three reciprocal in Christ realities that tell us exactly who we are. In Christ, I can do all things, the Bible says, through Christ or in Christ who strengthens me. The Bible also tells us, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, that mirror of the Scripture, it says, in Christ, I am everything that he is. Every promise of God, the Bible says, is yes and amen to us through Christ Jesus. Again, that preposition. The power of the gospel is in the prepositions. In fact, Wycliffe Bible translators, there's a little note in the Bible translation, Wycliffe Bible, that says, whatever you do, do not change the prepositions because you will under-translate the power of the gospel. And the truth is as we find out who we are and what we have, and then there it says, and in Christ, I have everything that he has. I have no lack. You may say, my bank account says different. Yes, that's the outside, but on the inside, who you really are. The Bible says that Jesus is seated in heavenly places, and that you are seated in heavenly places. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, it says, as he is, so are we in this life. Not into heaven to come, but in this life. So isn't it good news to know that according to the Scriptures, all we have to do is go through those 130 times, and I would encourage you, go to Bible Gateway or YouVersion Bible, these apps and different websites, and look up these phrases, in Christ. Look up the phrase, through Christ. And as you do, then take those verses and spend time putting them in front of you like a mirror. And don't be like someone that glances at the mirror and then walks away and forgets who you are. But look continually into that law of liberty, that mirror. And that's how truth then becomes a reality in our life. And then you'll start acting like that truth. You say it out loud and you begin to do it as well. You begin to be a doer of it. And literally, this changes everything. This scripture right here is my final verse. And I wanted to sink deep into it. This chapter of Philemon is one chapter. And here in this verse, it says something super powerful. Listen to what it says. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. Let's stop right there for a moment. How many of you want not just a religious relationship with God or a relationship with God that doesn't actually influence or change your life? How many of you want a relationship with God that actually is effective and changes your life? We all want a relationship that causes, you know, things around us, circumstances to change. If God is really truly the God of the Bible, our circumstances can change and should change. And it shouldn't be an empty gospel, a gospel. And so how does it move from I'm not connecting to suddenly it's effective in my life? What's the difference? The next phrase tells you how to make it happen. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So if we never spend time finding out those good things, we never spend time, therefore, acknowledging those good things. So how would you acknowledge it? Like I said, research, over 130 scriptures, all kinds of different verses. I've got a few of them written down here. Let me just read them out to you. Romans chapter 8. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, everybody say in Christ, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So in Christ, that good thing we acknowledge about ourselves, we look in the mirror. We don't look in the mirror and see someone that is not free. It reminds me of a story a minister friend of mine said. He said he was watching a boxing match, and the champion was getting beat up. He was in the corner taking all kinds of hits. And he said, then it went down to the corner there, and his trainer was in the corner, and he's swapping all that greasy stuff all over his face and pouring water on him. And he said, but the microphones picked up what he was telling the guy. And he starts saying things like this. He says, don't you know who you are? You're a champion. You're a champion. You're letting that guy take you to, beat you. You can't be beaten. You're the champion. Sometimes acknowledging and being reminded of who we are makes all the difference with whether it works or it's effective in our life or not. So if we never open up the scriptures and never spend time in the mirror and never allow ourselves to see and study and find out who we are, the good things we are in Christ, we won't know. We're free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? It means everything that the sin brought into the world, you have been set free from it. Adam and Eve's sin that brought all kinds of stuff into this world that is anti-God, it has no right to your life. Isn't that good news? That's one good thing. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Everybody say always leads us in triumph. Unlike Manchester United recently, you can't lose. You can't lose. Why? Because according to God, you have already been made, that's who you really are, a winner. You're victorious. That when you look in the mirror, doesn't matter what you see on the outside, on the inside, Jesus has made you a victorious believer. He leads you in triumph. Ephesians 3, verse 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, everybody say has, that means past tense, has done what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You've got all of heaven's spiritual blessing in a part of who you are. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. That means you have access to all the fullness of God in your spirit. You were born like him. Like we said, the fruit of the Spirit. All that he is who you are. All that he has is what you have. All that he can do through you because of the way he recreated you in his image. You have been made new. You are like him on the inside. So it doesn't matter what the outside says. That should make us walk different. That should make us talk different as we acknowledge every good thing that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And finally, Colossians 1:28. In him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. This is where I want to get to, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. When you look in the mirror, how many of you see someone who's perfect? I'm talking about the natural mirror. All the research and all the stuff, no matter how wonderful a person looks, no matter if they're a model or anything, everyone, if they ask the question, what do you not like about yourself? They have something they don't like about themselves. Nobody is perfect on the outside, but you look a lot better on the inside than you do on the outside. You have been made perfect in Christ. So the goal is as we acknowledge him and acknowledge all that has happened in us because of how he's made us, that will begin to work on the outside. That will begin to change us on the outside. The inside has changed. We see who we are on the inside, and then it should affect us on the outside. Amen? Amen. So my challenge, in a very positive way of the word challenge, the thing I'm setting before you is kind of an opportunity to be able to activate this message is, during this week, spend some time in online looking up the scriptures by doing a search for the phrase in Christ, in Him, these different ones. And then find the ones that speak to you, and you may find just four or five that you feel like these really, out of 130, there's got to be four or five that really speak to you. Find the ones that speak to you. They could be the same ones I mentioned here, or it could be different ones. And as you go through the week, and as you go through the week and days to come, I encourage you to acknowledge those things. Wake up acknowledging those things. Acknowledge them during the day. Acknowledge them before you go to sleep. As you do, you will. I know from experience of 27 years of ministry, 25 years of mission ministry, I know from watching people, anyone that does this a year later, they are in a whole different place with their life. A whole different place. It changes everything. We were at Manchester United and did the tour, and we were in the director's area underneath the stadium. And the tour guide said something very interesting. He said, you know, this is where Sir Alex can bring his guests, and this is where, you know, Bobby, what's his name? Yeah, Charlton, he can bring his guests, and they're the directors and things like that, but you can't get in here. Nobody can get in here unless you're invited by the director. And then he says something very interesting. He says, no amount of money can give you access to this place. Now, you can pay £130,000 and get a box for one season. That will give you access. That's a lot of money. But he said, his reference was basically, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You know, he talked about how, someone had invited recently, maybe Tom Cruise had been in there. I think it was David Beckham came. David Beckham can't come in unless he's a guest of one of the directors. David Beckham brought in Tom Cruise. They talked about Julia Roberts, the different people that have been in there at different times. But he said, after all that, he says, there's no amount of money can give you access to this place. And it's the truth with this. No amount of money can give you access to the things we're talking about. There's only one thing, and that's receiving Jesus. But when you receive Jesus, you become in Christed, and it gives you access to all that he has. Gives you, there's no other way. It's just through Christ. And it gives you access to everything. So I've asked my friend here, Pastor Chad, who travels all over the world with his family, and he pastors a church in Arkansas, and I asked him to come up and share with us and give you an opportunity to anyone that's here to receive Jesus afresh. It'd be a great Sunday to do that. But before we do, let's watch this video.
As a kid, I was really worried about fitting in, and it became a common theme of my life. I was really worried whether I'd have the right clothes or haircut or bag. And I loved to sing as part of a choir, but I started to think that maybe it wasn't cool and it would stop me from making friends. So I quit in the hope that it would help me to fit in. My best friend from school invited me along to Alpha, and I really wanted to know if I could experience what she had. She'd found security and identity and acceptance, and I really wanted that for myself. My parents don't go to church, but I'd grown up in a faith school, so I'd never not believed in God, but I'd never grasped that it was something that could be relevant to my life. I had a vague idea of what Alpha would be like. I knew that we would have a meal, we would talk about faith and discuss things, and that I could ask questions and say anything. By the third week of Alpha, my view of Jesus had completely changed. It blew my mind that I could be so accepted and loved, and a peace came over me like I've never experienced. It gave me the information I needed to make an informed decision about what I thought about my faith, while giving me the space and freedom to ask questions about the things I didn't understand or didn't agree with. Since trying Alpha, I've invited some of my friends to come along and try it for themselves. It's a great opportunity to meet new people, to learn more, and to just work out what you really think. Knowing the love of Jesus and belonging to a church helped me to get to grips with my faith really quickly, and I started to explore what God wanted me to do with my life. I started applying for PhDs after university, but I realised I have a heart for the people here in Wales, and the local community had developed a real passion for it. So now I work in the estates here, serving local needs in the town that I grew up. With the local church, we run cooking projects with children and their families. We work with local primary schools and we run sports clubs. We also run Alpha Youth with our youth group, and we've seen that have a massive impact on the young people in the area. Wales is the land of song, and after giving up singing all those years ago, now I lead worship in my church, at conferences, in local primary schools and assemblies. Through Alpha, I met Jesus and my whole life changed. I found peace and I developed a real love for my local community. I want more people to have the chance to go on the same kind of journey that I went on.
You know, she mentioned something about looking for acceptance, looking for identity, trying to figure out who I am. I don't know if you're like me, but I grew up in church and I was the good little church boy. I actually played the drums. And that was the thing that kept me in church, but God wasn't really real to me. I believe that there was a God, so to speak, but he wasn't real to me. And so growing up, I was always trying to fit in. I was always trying to be cool and hip. My wife, she still tries to keep me cool by the way I dress. I try to keep hip and cool. But I was always trying to fit in. I got picked on a lot by kids because of my last name or the way that I looked. And it wasn't until I was 20 years old, I just turned 20 years old, and I'd been running from God. I didn't even really know who I was. I didn't know who he was. I knew what my pastors believed. I knew what my parents believed, but I didn't know what I believed. And it wasn't until this one church service I had a true encounter with God, and I found out that God was really real and that he loved me. And he showed himself to me, he manifested himself to me. I found out that Christianity, it wasn't about rules and religion. It was about a true, legitimate relationship with God where I could talk to him and actually hear back. And he would show me things. I could hear from him and I could see from him. And the exact same things that Jesus said about his relationship with God, I could have that too. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. Well, to say that means you have to hear him. And for so many of us, it's just us talking and talking and talking and never hearing back. But God is wanting to direct you and to show you and guide you. And to do that, you have to be able to hear from him. And he wants to show you things. But to do that, you have to have that unhindered access to him. And Pastor Matt mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, I'm a brand new creature in Christ. And when I'm talking about that verse, I like to illustrate it like this, that when I got saved, I got in him. And when I got in him, that's the way that God sees me. And it's also the way that the devil sees me. He sees me in Christ. And when I got in Christ, when I began to understand who I was in him, I kind of started to feel like Superman. I all of a sudden, I went from being the shy kid to I started to being a confident kid. And I kind of started walking around with my head up and my chest out. And sometimes people started to think I was maybe a little arrogant. But it was because I got a confidence in myself because I started to understand who I was. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus, who knew no sin, he became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. See, Christianity, it was about the great exchange. God, he took my weakness and I took on his strength. He took on my worry and I took on his peace. He took on my poverty and all of a sudden in him I became rich. And he took my sickness and all of a sudden I became whole. That word righteousness, it's a big, long, fancy word. I like to say it like this. I became right just like him. See, now I'm not worried about the mess that I came out of because I discovered that the blood of Jesus was greater than my mess. And so in God's eyes, when I got in Christ, he sees me exactly the same way that he sees Jesus. That I am the rightness of God. And the very same way that God is right, I am right. That's a crazy thought to our little peanut brain. But that's the way that God sees you in Jesus, because the work that Jesus did was more than good enough to make you right in God's eyes. There was a famous preacher in the United States. His name was John Osteen, a fabulous preacher. And one time I heard him tell this story. He said, I went to sleep and I had this dream. And he said, in this dream, I was standing in an alley. And he said, this man came up to me and put a gun to my face and said, give me everything that you have. Well, you know, all of a sudden he said, I'm scared, I'm worried. But he said, suddenly Jesus appeared between me and the robber. And he said, then Jesus took a few steps back and then he stepped into me. And when he stepped into me, he said, I looked at the man and said, the name of Jesus. And the man dropped the gun and ran off. And he said, it was from that point on, I began to understand my true identity because of my union with Christ. Without Christ, I was nothing to the enemy. But when Jesus got in me, all of a sudden, I'm something supernatural. All of a sudden, I'm something special. All of a sudden, I am extraordinary. All of a sudden, I'm magnificent. I am something to be dealt with, not because of me, but because of who got in me. See, that's the wonderful thing about Christianity. Pastor Matt mentioned in the Old Testament, it was something I was writing down. In the Old Testament, it was about God being with us. But in the New Testament, it's not just about God getting in us. The whole purpose of God getting in us is so that he can work and live through us. It's the power of the prepositions. He got in you so he could work through you. So I tell people, you know, when it comes to salvation, it's not just about, you know, do you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to have God living on the inside of you? Wouldn't you want to have the creator of the universe not just on the inside of you, but actually working through you so that these hands can be Jesus' hands and these feet can be Jesus' feet and this mouth can be Jesus' mouth? It's not about what you've done. It's about what he's already done. And all you got to do is receive it. He did all the work. And so I want to give you two invitations. Number one, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're a person that you're standing over here and he's here and you haven't stepped in yet, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. And it's very simple. All you have to do is receive him. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you shall be saved. It's very, very easy. And then number two, maybe you were like me. You grew up like me and you grew up in church and trying to do the good things, but God wasn't really real to you. And you want to have maybe like me, I ran away. I had my Jonah experience. I ran. And I went from being good Chad, I tried to be bad Chad. I was tired of being the goody two-shoes kid. I tried to be bad and I ran for like a year and stopped going to church and stopped reading my Bible. Because God wasn't real. And so if you're like me in that situation, God wasn't really real to you. And you want to come back to him and begin to allow him to live through you and work through you. I mean, it absolutely changed my life when I actually encountered him. If that's you, one of those two things, I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you would just slip up your hand, it's not to embarrass you, but it's to know who we're going to pray with this morning so we can put some things into your hands and help you. Is there anyone here you meet any one of those two categories? You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you've walked away and he's never left you. It's us that walks away. Or you're that second one. Maybe you've walked away and he's not really real to you anymore. But you want to come back and you want to go all in and start living for him once again. Is there anyone in those two categories? Anyone? All right. Oh, we got one back here. Good. One, two. Anyone else? All right. So we're going to pray right here. And then at the end of the service, I would invite you to come forward. We've got some people that are going to pray with you and minister to you, put some things into your hand and help you. But let's just all pray this together for the sake of those that are here. Okay. Say this with me. Father, I come to you right now and I realize I'm in need of a Savior and that your word says, if I would believe in my heart and confess with my mouth Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life, that I would be saved. So I do believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me brand new. Thank you for putting me in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.